Warwick Stewart was a seemingly happy, vivacious young man who had a huge impact on those around him through his sincerity and kindness. When Warwick took his life in 2019, he left his family and friends devastated with no answers. Warwick's family have recently completed an arduous journey across the Simpson Desert to honour Warwick and to create awareness around suicide whilst raising funds for the RFDS and Lifeline. I caught up with Warwick's dad, Scott, on their return.
Scotty, thank you so much for joining me again after your epic voyage or adventure to the desert. So I'm really keen to hear all about that. But I just want to touch on, firstly, suicide rates in Australia, because it's quite astonishing, isn't it? There's something like 8 people every day that take their life, and 75% of those are men.
Yes, Kelly, that's correct. So, yeah, those rates are just astonishing and, yeah, sort of scary, and it's still swept under the carpet to a degree. It's the largest single killer of men under 47, I believe.
It's so senseless, isn't it? And I was actually sitting with some friends the other day, and, you know, there were just 3 of us, and we were sitting around, and one of them told a story about, you know, someone close to them, and then that opened the gates for our other friend to start talking. And it really resonated with me, the process of that, how that unfolded, and just being able to talk to people. And you don't need a room full of people, you only need 1 or 2 people, and one thing leads to another. And we didn't set out to start talking about that stuff, but it just happened. And, you know, I think it was a really good thing for our friend that, you know, that topic of conversation came up, and, you know, it was okay to talk about it, and there was no judgment. And I think that's the biggest thing, don't you, Scotty?
Yeah, Kelly, I couldn't agree with you more. I know, probably going back 10 years ago, it was a bit of a taboo topic. No one really talked about it. I think it was a case, you know, if you couldn't handle the heat, get out of the kitchen sort of thing back in those days. And for myself, I'm just seeing such a role reversal there, the amount of people that are just openly talking about it. And, yeah, you just find it anywhere and everywhere. People just seem to be opening up a lot more. So that is a really good thing.
Yeah. And Scotty, I read somewhere on one of your posts about yourself. You know, you've had a very good friend who you've been able to talk to about anything, and, you know, you just need that one person, I guess. And I imagine, you know, you've had your own dark days even before you lost Warwick. But how has that helped you, having that one person that you can depend on? And
yeah, Kelly, it's helped me enormously. And there's no judgment there. It's just an open conversation. And I hope that also there's been a role reversal there as well. Yeah, it's helped immensely, just that chat. And it's also helped me talk to other people as well. Just like my nieces and nephews and other family members, they're very important to me. So just to ask, are you okay? And when someone asks you, are you okay? It's like, wow, thank you. And you just have a bit of a talk. It's awesome.
Yeah. And I guess sometimes the reaction, if someone says, are you okay? Yeah, I am. Sure, I'm fine. And then you could, you know, you probably think, actually, you know what? I'm not. And thank you for asking. And so then the conversation can go on. So sometimes I guess it's probably a good thing not to be so blunt to start with, but like the experience that I had the other night, just without even realizing it, steering the conversation in a direction when you think someone might be struggling. Like, I don't know what your thoughts are on that, but.
Yeah, Kelly, I couldn't agree with you more. And I've also been in situations where you ask people, are they okay? And you can see that they're not, they're a bit hesitant. And also just to reiterate it again and ask, are you really okay? And sometimes it will lead on to a conversation.
Yeah, yeah. And I think too, Scotty, people have to have trust in you, don't they, that you're not going to go and, you know, tell everybody about it because, you know yourself how stories get a terrible stories. It's like Chinese whispers, you know, they start off and they get embellished along the way, not purposely, but it just happens, doesn't it? So I guess if someone's confiding in you, it's so important not like to maintain that trust and not go and tell everybody, you know, about that conversation that you've had unless, you know, it's someone that can actually help. So,
Kelly, I think you've hit the nail on the head very much, see?
Just an observance. But anyway, Scotty, I'd love to talk to you a little bit more about Warwick because we just kind of touched on him in that last little two-minute chat we had. But he was a really funny kid, wasn't he?
Yeah, Kelly, he was a little charmer, even when he was a little baby, he had these little dimples and the smile. And, yeah, he was just a charmer wherever you go. Everyone always said they had a connection with Warwick. So, yeah, he was an awesome little kid.
And everyone, it sounds like everyone absolutely loved him. Like there was a story about when he broke his leg, I think, and all the kids at Nebo School wanted to be the ones to help him. And
yeah, he was just everyone adored him. He was just a charmer. He was just a lovely kid, you know. He was a really lovely kid.
Yeah. So, Scotty, you know, quite often you hear about kids that are bullied and that take their lives, but that wasn't the case for him. And you really, to this day, you don't have any idea what happened, do you?
No, Kelly, don't. And like you say, bullying was an issue. Warwick was always a kid to stick up for everyone at school, stick up for his brothers, stick up for his mummy's dad, all his family members. And as far as an answer goes, no one's got an answer. And I think if you try to dig, you never find those answers. So for myself personally, I think it's a scar I'll wear on my heart forever. But if you don't, try to take something from that terrible situation to try to stop someone else from doing it, the ripple effect that suicide causes amongst the family, his friends, the community, it's a horrendous situation. And, yeah, there's just no answers.
And, Scotty, I guess, you know, you have to let go of why too. You have to move past the why, don't you, and just accept it. Do you think that's fair?
Yeah, Kelly, and it's a very hard thing to do because you're always asking why. But there is no answers, and I think the more whys you ask, the more you'll keep looking for answers, and there is no answers.
Yeah. Scotty, you sent through his eulogy, and there was a bit about in there that he thought that he was God, and when he was a little boy. But did he have a fairly strong faith, or was that not something he followed? Or
I wouldn't say it's something he followed. It was just a leader, and that was just a one of his characteristics that he would pull a bit of humour from, I suppose. And yeah, as we were talking before, in the early 90s, they were terrible drought years, as you would remember, and it was a tough time for everybody. But, yeah, Warwick was just going along with his smile and his dimples, and he said, okay, I'm going to make a rain machine. So everyone just said, okay, Warwick, you can make your rain machine. So off he went, made his rain machine, and I think we asked him for the, I can't remember whether it's 4 or 5 inches, and we ended up with 6 or 7 inches. And it was like, told you so. And away he went again. He was just an amazing little chirpy kid, hey? He was spot on.
The other thing I found really interesting about him was that when he was going into grade 5 and all his friends were in grade 6, and he actually skipped a year of school, didn't he?
he just decided he'd fast forward things and get on with life, and away he went.
So he had to sit an exam, didn't he, to go into grade six, is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah. That's amazing, you know, and it's a wonder that, I mean, obviously the school embraced that and knew that he could cope with it, and so that must have been a really good thing for him and a real confidence boost.
Yes, very much so.
Yeah. So, Scotty, let's get on to the Simpson Desert crossing that you've just completed, and it wasn't without its trials, so... share with me the story about what happened when you were on your trip.
Yeah, it was a great trip, Kelly. And yeah, it has had its challenges. I think that heat was one of the biggest challenges. We hit 43 degrees plus out there and everyone was really struggling. The cars were struggling. The heat just changes the nature of the sand and the dunes as well. So it's very loose. Just trying to carry enough water there as well. So that was very challenging. But yeah, we were very lucky. We had a good support crew amongst us and we're able to help everybody out. So flies were next level as well. So yeah.
You probably didn't have to eat too much then if you were filling up on flies, because I know how they get down your nose. Oh. So there were four bikes, is that right? Four of you?
Yes.
Yep. And how many in the support crew?
We had four motorbikes and then we had four vehicles with five people in the support vehicles as well. So that was good.
Yeah. So what role did they play, Scotty, the support vehicles?
We were lucky. So they helped us out with carrying more fuel, obviously water, different supplies that we needed. We were very lucky. Friends from the Northern Territory came down, Jim and Claire. And Claire was amazing. She just had this magic car, everything she opened. Just, it was birthday cakes, there was jukeboxes, there was everything she pulled out of this motor car. It was amazing, yeah. So big thanks to Jim and Claire came along as well and came a long way to help us out.
Yeah, that's exactly what you need on a tough job like you did is a jukebox.
Yeah, that's right. So that was hilarious. We had lots of laughs at night time, which was good. Throughout the day, the heat, the first day we had dramas with motorbikes, so we're trying to do a few repairs there. What else happened? It was still hot. There was a couple of mishaps there with the sand. A couple of us went down, but yeah, all in all, everything went as challenges, but went well.
Yeah. So, Scotty, you weren't sticking to roads. Were you like actually on the sand crossing the physical desert?
Yeah. So, in answer to your question, Kelly, it is like a track. The first one was a QAA line, which is, it is a track, I guess you'd say. But sort of over dunes, there was something like 1,100 dunes, I think. And then we linked up with what they call a French line, which was even a little bit tougher. And we went to Mount Dare from there. So we didn't, as much as we were up to, have done the double desert crossing because of the heat. It was something we just had to caution off because we felt someone was going to get hurt or expire. So we didn't want that, of course.
And I guess... it's like anything in life, you've got to be flexible, haven't you? And, you know, go with the flow a little bit. And if things don't seem right, you know, get out. So, Scotty, you left Birdsville. So talk me through, you know, where you went from Birdsville and where you ended up.
Yeah, Kelly. So when we left Birdsville, we went out almost due west, I suppose you'd say, over the Big Red. The sand dune is the first sand dune. And then from there we continued. We only got, I think it was only about 18 or 20 kilometres out with the support vehicles that day because it was tough for them. The bikes went out to what we call Popple's Corner, which is a corner of South Australia, Northern Territory and Queensland. And then we returned to camp that night. That was a big day. It was just heat and flies.
And how many days did it end up taking you?
It was 3 days in the end to get across to Mount Dare. So the first day we camped, just the other side of Air Creek the first night. The second night was probably about three parts of the way out, I suppose. And then the third night we camped at a place called Purdy's Bore, which was quite an easy ride to Mount Dare the next day.
So is Mount Dare a township? I've never heard of it.
No, it's just a little service station, I suppose. So just a little, you can get food there, fuel. So it plays a very vital part in people coming across as well.
And Scotty, so the whole idea of your adventure was to raise some money for RFDS and Lifeline, but mainly to shine a light on mental health and suicide awareness. So do you think you achieved everything you set out to do?
Yes, Kelly. We talked a lot about it on our trip, and we particularly picked the desert because we knew it was going to be tough, and that's representative of life sometimes. So that's why we picked a desert trip. And, we talked amongst ourselves a lot. We also talked to a lot of people on the track, and they're all very welcoming, very upcoming with their stories as well. So, it was very positive. And I did have a quick look earlier on today. I think we've raised just a little bit over $5,000, which was well over and above what we thought we'd get. So, we're very, very happy with that.
Oh, that's fantastic. You'll have to go on the speaking circuit, Scotty.
I don't know, Kelly. I'm not that good at it. I'm just following your lead.
Talking about, life and challenges and that, so life always throws challenges up at us. And I guess when you complete something that's really tough, you can apply that back to life skills, can't you? So, what are your thoughts around that, and what did you learn? What did you take away from the trip?
Yeah, Kelly, I couldn't agree more. I think one of the best parts of the trip was the challenges, and everyone just seemed to be able to support everybody else. There was a couple of really tough days where it was hot. I was really worried about a couple of the guys in the bikes. They were really, really feeling it. But, to their credit, they dug deep and got on with it. And, they were up and rearing to go again the next day. And it's just about that support role. And, I couldn't reiterate that more.
Yeah. And I guess you hit the nail on the head. There's lots of things you've got to dig deep for in life, isn't there? And I guess when you do something like you've done, you can look back and think, well, gosh, that I did that, so I can get through, this that's happening to me now. So, I think it's really great to challenge yourself in all sorts of ways because it can help you so much with the things that you don't choose to have challenges. On Instagram the other day, all those mediums are great. They can be wonderful to, in so many ways to teach you stuff and give you little tips. But there was a little article about use your hard. So when something's tough and difficult, using that to be better and to be stronger. And so I've had that in my mind the last few days. Use your hard. So, I think it's a very good little quote to remember.
That's right.
But Scotty, thank you. And I've been really interested in following your journey on Facebook. And, I didn't know Warwick, but I've known you for such a long time. And I know that he would be very proud of what you have achieved and, not forgetting and making sure that Warwick's in everyone's mind. And when you do things like what you have done, it just, adds a little bit to Warwick's life, doesn't it?
Yes, Gally, and thank you so much for your support along the way and helping us to get that message out there, are you okay not to be okay? I think that's a very important message. And yeah, once again, thank you so much.
Yeah. Well, I'll look forward to seeing you in the flesh sometime in the not too distant future, hopefully.
Yeah, that sounds great.
And catching up. But I meant to ask, how did your dad handle it? Because he's no spring chicken.
No, Kelly, he'll be 80 next year. And yeah, he soldiered on. He was a really real robot. So out with the swag, and yeah, he was into it. So yeah, and I think he loved every minute of it. I think he had a couple of days of R&R when he got back, but no, he really enjoyed it. And I think for Dad, it was good just to, make that connection with other people as well. So he really enjoyed the trip. Thank you.
Yeah, that's good. All right. Well, take care, and hopefully we'll catch up again soon.
You too, Kelly. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Scotty.
Thank you for listening to my interview. If you'd like to hear more inspiring stories, subscribe to my YouTube channel or my podcast and follow me on Instagram and Facebook at LifeJourneyTV.